I make a motion that we accept the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve the February minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carries. Okay, we'll go right to reports, the financial. Jennifer?
I'm going to report the February 2022 financial statements. Billed revenue for the month of February is up 15% from last February, and water consumption is up 3.94%. Something to point out, if you look at our cash receipts report and another, our consumption from residential and commercial industrial kind of flip-flopped from last year, which is the effect of COVID. Residential consumption has gone down, but that commercial and industrial has picked up at an overall increase. Water department, we reported a profit of $156,000 for February 2022. Profit last year was $190,000. Difference is we did have an increase in revenues, but we had an increase in expenses as well of $65,000. And then detail on that is our billed revenue is up $120,000, but the access and impact fee collection, while still is very good, last year was just abnormally high, the highest it's been, so we're kind of seeing quote-unquote normal access and impact fees this year. Fiscal year to date, as I was saying, access and impact fees are doing very well at $618,000 and is ahead of budget. It is behind the prior year, but ahead of fiscal year 20. And year-to-date profit is more than the prior year in budget. For the sewer department, billed revenue is also up about 15%, and water consumption is also up about 3.71%. Profit for the month is $292,000. It is down significantly from $725,000, but the difference in that was a decrease of access and impact fee revenue. We had very strong February 2021 numbers. Miscellaneous income, which was part of that Allen settlement I mentioned last month, but our overall billed revenue did increase. So it seems significant, but I'll show you in another graph that last February was just abnormally high in the sewer department's profit. Year-to-date access impact fees still doing well, $1,129,000, which is still ahead of budget, less than the prior year, and just a little bit less than fiscal year 20. Our year-to-date profit in the sewer department is less than the prior year, but we're still on market to exceed our budget. Lost water is still doing very well. For the month of February is 5%, 8% for the calendar year, and 11% for the last 12 months, so continuing on that downward trend. Restricted and unrestricted funds, we're at $43.5 million. We're starting the budget process, so hopefully we'll have some direction on where to spend those monies that we have waiting. I know engineering department and Brent and Todd have some big plans, so. just to show you this year-to-date comparison, we are $231,000 roughly ahead of the prior year-to-date on profit. And for the sewer department, we are behind by $494,000. But you can see the difference in February 22 to this February. That's a big portion of it. And if you want to look at a chart, which I feel like is a lot more helpful than numbers sometimes, this is the water department. So you can see fiscal year 22 right here, we're following right on trend as we normally do for income or profit. For the sewer department, we are this line right here. And you can see where last year was just boom, that big spike where we had a big inflow of access and impact fee money and some other things that were unusual. So if you look at it year to date versus other years, we're right on target where we need to be for income. So, and that is all I have for you unless there are any questions.
Quick question, and we may have covered it in a prior meeting, and I don't know what made me think of it, but I know at one point during the COVID crisis, there was people, we gave them like a grace period if they got behind on their water. How did that all turn out, and did everything clear up?
Largely, of our people, we did not see that large of an issue of people not paying their water bills and a large number of people going without water. We gave people payment extensions when they needed it. And our current plan is if you are meeting the terms of a payment extension, we're not going to penalize you. We're going to work with you, but we cannot allow you to get further behind on your bill. There's a minimum there. So we didn't see a large number of people unable to pay their water bill and go without water. Now, if we're talking service charges and penalties, we have charged in the about $14,000 less in service charges and penalties. That also includes setting meters and that. So our penalties has gone down compared to last year. So
good.
People were incurring some penalties, but it was not severe in what it could have been, in my opinion, I'm sure some of the others, so.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And that's our current policy in general. We will work with people no matter what. If they have a large leak, if anything, we are more than gracious to work on their payment plans. Yeah, we do have a third-party donation base that we allow people to donate to through the utility bills and employees that we facilitate through the Office of Human Concern called the H2O program, which allows ratepayers or employees to donate money to this organization. They facilitate and administer the program and give people money to pay their water bills. Mm-hmm. We've actually seen people not using that program right now. They're using HARC programs, other funds. So there's money out there that we know that people aren't tapping into because there's either more options or there's so much out there. Not to say that there aren't people in need. I'm not being blind to that. But we know that there are funds out there that are helping them that are not being accessed as well.
Good. Okay.
How does that work?
So on your water bill, you can elect a set dollar amount.
But is the money just for water bills, or is it for repairs if they needed a repair?
It's $100 per water bill. So you have to be a Rogers Water citizen,
okay.
And it's $100. And they have, you can only use it, I think, once every 12 months or so.
That wouldn't
help. We were surprised it wasn't utilized to the max. You had to meet the needs.
Mm-hmm.
You can only use it once every six years. You can't habitually
use it.
Okay.
And so those people are going to other programs and they're making use of those funds. So that is a good point. That did help the effect of people getting shut off, because the HARC funds will pay more than that $100 for sure. It'll take care of their entire balance in many cases.
Okay.
So, and that's not facilitated through us. That's just another program that's available right now.
And trending right now, we don't have anything. No trends right now to indicate.
No, we track our disconnects. That doesn't seem out of the norm. Numbers are right on. We, disconnect less than 500 accounts a month. So.
So we got a wealthy base. It's at least it's not like.
And those that aren't there,
the reverse. So
out there, it seems to help those people. Okay. Who want to pay their water bill. So. Are there any other questions?
Mm-mm. Thank you.
Thank you. Go to the engineer in the report.
Good evening. I'm obviously not Brian, but I did try to steal a lot of his work, so hopefully it'll look familiar. So we've got quite a bit of plumbing plans. It looks like we slowed down on our civil stuff, but we had some very, very large subdivisions coming through. Stephen, I think we had close to 300 different lots that were reviewed in these six plans. So it was quite a bit. I know there's quite a bit of an uptick for next month already, but it's still.
And they're large subdivisions?
Yes, sir. As far as what we've got going on, there's quite a bit moving across. Our 2021 is getting close to being finished out. They're most of the way done with 3rd Street. They've been moving very fast. The 11th Street water tank, they're getting ready to start blasting and painting. So you should, if you drive by there, be able to see the curtain up. It's encased. Hopefully when the curtain comes down, it'll look nice and shiny and new. Pleasant Grove Road, they're moving along. They're starting to get back into the swing of things. I think they're dealing with some parts issues, but it's starting to move. JB Hunt and the Oak and Uptown overpasses are getting ready to get kicked off. There's some utility issues on the overpasses, but they're working those out. So hopefully we'll see those moving.
What, you're saying overpasses, plural?
Yes. Well, there's the Oak Street overpass and the Uptown overpass. And then JB Hunt is, they've got a bridge that's going to be connecting from over there, let's see where the Wisenvest properties are. It's JB Hunt Drive. It will be connecting to Bellevue.
So is that three overpasses?
JB Hunt is not an overpass. It's just got a bridge. So there's two overpasses, one on Oak Street, and then the Uptown is over close to, it's across from the Mercy Hospital.
I think they've got barriers up on 49
now.
You can see where
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Barriers up on those two overpasses.
Mm-hmm. You can see where they're going to be doing the work.
I guess those relieve some things.
That is the hope. as far as in-house, and then we've got quite a few street department jobs. They're slowly moving forward. There tends to be some delays on those occasionally. I feel like personally the city's a little over-optimistic, but they're still moving forward. We do have the Pinnacle sewer that's going to be going back out to bid. And then we do have out to bid currently a sewer maintenance contract to just try to handle some smaller things that pop up along the way. Let's see, our construction stuff that's going on right now. These are our in-house projects. Some of them are kind of overlapped, but we're moving forward slowly and steadily. We do have bids later in the evening for the Chestnut sewer and water. But everything's slow and steady moving forward. I think, yeah. Good. Anybody has any questions? I can go over.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Pollution control, Todd.
So I think I mentioned to you last time we would have a little bit higher money than what we typically see. You can see it is higher, but we're still within limits. But you know, going from point, that's an increase of fivefold. So we did have a little bit of a monkey problem at the very beginning of February, but we got that straightened out by the end.
Your
pretreatment, you know, they're carrying right along. The surcharges are having a good impact on the way we want to see our water come to us, and so you can see as we look at their different things that we that we assess a surcharge on that is impacting the way that they're treating water. So that's been a good deal for us. That you know the $8,000, I mean it's significant enough to get them to change their their behavior. But what's more important to me is that the behavior's changed. It does make treating the water much more doable. We're not having near the spikes that we had previous.
Where is Southeast Poultry?
So Southeast Poultry is up on Easy Street, and I was trying to
8th and Easy.
It's 8th, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
Is that where Ozark Limpke, Mountain used to be?
It's where Limpke Wholesale used to be.
It's
8th.
It's one
by the old crane building. Yeah. East Coast Street.
Southeast Coast Street. Dixie Land and Ball Fields.
Yeah, I know it's by the ball fields, but it's...
Oh, behind the ball field, yeah.
Oh, these are the... Yeah. These are the ones we've had issues with.
Yeah.
Okay. During ball season, we get over
complaints. Is that fee enough to cover the increased chemical usage that's required?
We don't have a large increase in chemical. We have more of an increase in electric usage from aeration.
Is that enough to cover all the increased cost?
According to the consultants who did the study, they come up with that number for surcharges. And they come out and got a bunch of data as far as, you know, total horsepower we have in aeration, what our electrical charges were, what, you know, and then they looked at other things that consumed air, and they looked at all those kind, and even down to like how much additional solids is it creating that we have to dry, and they tracked it pretty detailed.
How long ago was that?
About 3 years ago.
Yeah, I wonder if there's an inflation index you would want to attach to that for.
It is based on the cost of energy, and certainly we've seen natural gas and electric go up. And if we're trying to maintain that to be equitable, then probably it needs to be tied to something along the energy sector. You know, because the percentage of electric would stay the same, but total probably, you know.
I know electric's gone up a lot after the crisis in Texas.
I noticed it too when I was doing research for our budget for to turn into Jennifer. Is my electric and gas went up more than any time I've ever.
That is something we should look at and try to. Yeah. There should be some kind of an index to be attached to it and. To be fair and equitable.
We've talked about having to do an update anyway with some of the things that we're looking at for our future growth and things like that. So maybe that, I saw Brent taking a note, so maybe that's something we'll talk to him about.
And we should probably tie that to something. We had a 2% rate in there. We did the updates to your enforcement.
Right.
And something I just add that since they treat so much, they do it very, very efficiently on scale. So these numbers don't add up to a lot, but they add up to enough to, as Todd said, change some behaviors, which
that's good.
Tremendously.
Right. I'm not, right. It is probably under a little bit at this point because of the energy inflation, but it's still affecting their behavior. So before the numbers we had, like, we probably wouldn't have $800 up here. Before we had HDR did their study, because I think the last time it was done before this time, it was like 10 or 15 years previous too. So it was nothing, and so they were just discharging. I don't want to say whatever they wanted. I mean, they had a permit and they were trying to achieve it, but they didn't mind too much hitting surcharge because it really didn't. It was certainly cheaper to do that than it was to treat. So we had to do something just to change the behavior a little bit. Any other questions for me? I'm sorry, kind of the fog inspection. Amber's doing a really good job, and she lets me know when she runs into problems. But that last month, she didn't really come up with anything. So she's doing a good job keeping that going good. Pollution control, significant events. Train 2 did hit a problem in the automation integration phase. It impacted my labor quite a bit. We had to run that in manual mode for pretty much the first month. They've got that pretty well resolved at this point, but just this week. So, the contractor, you know, the process we have a construction manager who is in charge of subs for us, and the construction manager was doing everything he could, but the sub was struggling with some labor issues, so. I was happy that we got that taken care of. For the month of February, the dryer actually ran pretty well, but didn't make it much into March, I'll just say.
Wow, we don't see that. We don't see that phrase very often. The dryer ran well.
It's like I should have knocked on wood whenever I was typing this up or something, because it definitely hurt us in March. But we're not talking about March.
What's the status of the dryer?
So the current status is it broke down like March the 2nd or March the 3rd, and it took us about a week to get going again. We had a feed pump issue, and it was probably self-inflicted. Whenever we did the solids handling, when we started going to our silo, we had an issue with some of the transport system where it wouldn't accept material if it got up above too high of a temperature. Well, during shutdown, you can pretty much count on it being above that temperature for a certain period, and it'll kick that material out to some bags. What we've been doing is we've been putting that bag back through the dryer, and that requires it to go through the cape pump. Well, it's building up material in that line, and it's causing the cape pumps to fail prematurely. And so we have stopped that process. We're no longer doing that, and we're working on trying to come up with a different process to deal with that. I should hear something. Well, David is taking care of that. He'll probably hear something this afternoon with our guy we were talking to about that. But that was the beginning of the problems. We had another gearbox fail at about the same time that pushed our normal, 3 days out to more like a week. So we had a week where we could not process, that's hurt us, and especially today. So with the rain coming in, we're gonna struggle with this rain. But the dryer is back up and running, but we haven't been able to recover from that week down yet because it's so close to capacity that, we only make up a couple of thousand pounds a day. Well, if we are trying to get rid of, we really need to get rid of 15,000 to 17,000 pounds a day. And if we're only making up 1,000 or 2,000 pounds a day, it takes us pretty close to a month to recover from a week. So maybe a little more than a month. So we haven't quite made it back. So that's the more complete story.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Permit is complete. We finished our internal review yesterday, and I've submitted that to DEQ. I did include in a cover letter a request to hold on to that until they have finished their legal issues with Springdale and Naca. Just to give you an update on what I requested, there's under no obligation to honor that request, but I did request that because I feel like that was the best thing for us, as we discussed in our previous meeting with all of the EPA stepping in and interfering with other permits in our Illinois River watershed. We did treat 285 million gallons in February. That equates to about 56 million gallons from my and I. That was on a little less than 2 inches of rain, which is pretty close to normal for February. So that's what I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thanks, Todd.
Operations.
Afternoon.
I forgot I was gone on Friday and about the recognitions and stuff, but I typed it up on here. And I just want to recognize, bring a couple of guys that passed some tests for us. Taylor Adams, he passed his Class 4 water exam. He did an excellent job. They've been taking it a couple of times. I couldn't get them in here to recognize them, but they're ready to go home. Or Taylor, he's probably soaking wet and ready to change clothes from being out. But Jeremy Bowman, he passed his Class 3 collections. Jason Westerhold passed his Class 4 collection. Efren and David Rocha, they both passed their Class 1 collections exam. And I can tell you, as far as like David and Efren, they've been working, trying to, I think this was their third time to take the test. They've been trying their hardest to get it passed. These tests aren't the simplest things in the world for people to pass, So for our guys to pass them, it's done an excellent job. Like the Class 4 water exam, they actually say that's equivalent to associate's degree. The Class 4 water test is what Martin Nutt with the Arkansas Department of Health, that's what he equates it to, and that's what a lot of the other health departments equate it to, so.
Does it start out at class one and then you work your way up to the other classes?
Well, water four, you don't have to. In water, you can just set for whatever exam, but we're a class four city. So our philosophy always has been, since we're a class four city requirement, why set for the other ones? Because Bentonville does it right now, and it's not helped their pass rate any better than what ours is. You know, for them, they've been taking the ones, the twos, and they've had the guys fill in the ones and twos like we have the guys fill in the four, you know, and then finally, you know, after they learn what they need to study and how to study it, they can get it passed like Taylor and stuff, you know, so. But yeah, you know, the health department is going to try to push it later on for that to be a requirement where we have to set for that so they get more training hours. But right now, they can just go ahead and set for the four.
Do we have a pay for skills around that?
Do
we do anything related to pay for skills around having those different certifications?
We have a different pay rate. Like if they get their collection three, we have different levels. They move up in the field. You know, they'll start out as a field tech one. They get their CDL, they go to a field tech two, then their next license, as they move up, they progress up that chain to the top of field op two, right? Yeah, I wanted to be sure I was speaking right. And then, you know, from a field op two, the guys, if we see some leadership quality and stuff in them, they can actually move into a crew lead, which is above the field ops. That gives them a little bit more money right under the supervisor, so they can do some things in the field and everything. So I put in some numbers there for the crews and stuff. A couple of things I wanted to highlight is, you know, there we installed 94 more leak monitors. And you know, that's that M log on that we presented back to you a short time ago about leaks and everything. We've actually, with the leak monitors that we found 15 significant water leaks that we've been trying to track down and stuff in the last few years. And I think, you know, Jennifer showed y'all our leak, our lost water has been going down the last few years and the last few months and stuff. And especially the last few months, and that's why, is because we're finding those significant leaks by us getting these leak detectors out there, because we're finding in lines that normally we'd have to have somebody out there walking up and down looking for, or sticking a probe down in the ground trying to find soft spots. They're helping us locate them and isolate them down to a little bit better area for us to find them. So those leak monitors are working for us. Another thing that I wanted to bring some attention to, you know, as I put there, we flushed 16,375 feet. While this is a good number for February, we still are running a little bit behind. And that's mainly because of equipment. You know, our equipment's been breaking down, getting parts to fix our equipment, you know, and getting everything back up. So we've kind of got behind a little bit there. So we're starting to see a few more stoppages and backups on there. Luckily, I think we've only had one that's backed up into a building. You know, most of our other overflows, and it wasn't significant enough to bring to y'all. It was, you know, it was a pretty simple clean. But we are starting to see more of those happen, you know, and we're trying to get our equipment up and running as best we can and hit it hard with the spring rains and stuff coming so we don't have as many overflows and stuff. The other thing is locates. Our locates just continue to go crazy. You know, this is for the month of February. We had the ice, the snows, and everything else, and we still did 976 locates. If you drive around town, you can see the boring locators on every street corner. You know, you got Cox going in, you know, like Janae said. Last month, I think she had AT&T in her front yard. This month, she's got Cox in her front yard, you know. So. As those things are progressing, those locates are just getting more and more there. So we've issued 48 bore permits for the month of February. This month along, I think we're already to 10 or 15 just in for the month of March. For the month of March, we're probably at 60 to 65 bore permits, I think, will be our number for next month.
Does anybody know how many utilities or whatever they are installing all of those Are all those board permits utilities?
Yes, sir. It's usually 18, it's fiber.
Yeah.
It's all your fiber people.
Right, fiber.
And, you know, there is some gas boring where they're redoing, laying some gas lines and stuff where they got the old lines downtown, but not many of them. You know, mainly it's all the fiber.
Fiber?
Yeah. Because right now, AT&T is going to 5G, Cox is up sizing theirs. So I was telling Brent, I think by the first of the year, we'll see Google. Google's coming in here. Ozark Gold's, Ozark Gold is, you know, they're looking at expanding their fiber. We got Ritter Fiber, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, so.
Well, it's interesting because we lost, we had a problem out at my office, not my office, but the building. And one of the guys told me, does this make sense? You got involved in that, didn't you?
I know which one you're talking about.
Okay. All the utilities, in effect, are just the sewers in our office, but I'm sure not the fiber. But does anybody know how many? You just said a bunch, right? None of them really know when they get in there where their stuff is.
Well, AT&T doesn't care. I mean, they had that 811 or whatever it is come out to our neighborhood, and they just started boring anyway. They went through our gas line, our electric fence, they went through our sprinklers.
That they just do it.
Yeah.
And that it's cheaper to pay the damages after you screw everything up.
We've changed that. You know, we got the bond that they have to get with us now. That helps dictate ours. And what we do now is we control all of those bonds. So, like, you know, where they tear up the stuff for on the private side, like that one,
right.
We knew who to contact, who to go back to, and say, hey, guys, you've got a problem out here. You need to get paid to get it fixed or get it fixed.
And you ordered them to get it fixed?
Yeah, they fixed it.
But it was a private line.
But we own the bond on that. We're not going to give their money back to them unless we've got homeowners that they bored through their water lines. They're, caused some, over in the Callahan subdivision where Donna lives, they bored right through water services and just left the water running on the private side where the water's going through the meter, you know, and then the homeowner gets a bill and his water bill is $400 or $500 and, you know, and it's normally $80, you know, and he's freaking out because he's an old guy that lives there, you know, so.
Bond money right now, and we're probably carrying
$75 bonds.
Wait, I was talking to Sasha the other day.
For roughly millions of dollars.
Yeah,
I mean, we got some board companies that have $500,000 bonds with us, you know. So,
what's the period of time where they get turned back? I mean, how long can you hold them?
Most of them are for a year, but they renew them every year.
Because if there's a water leak, you might not find it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a sewer leak, you might not find it for a couple of years.
Well, most
they're still getting bonds with us. It gives us a little bit of leverage.
Yeah, we can go back on them. Yeah.
Annual bond.
Yeah.
But that 48 boring permits up there represents how many feet? That number's a little misleading. It looks small, but
I mean, you're looking at subdivisions and you know, one bore can, you know, they'll call in one bore will be 2 miles, you know, or it'll be a mile, you know. So when you're looking at bore permits there, you know, like Brent's saying, you're looking at, think a small number, but when you start thinking feet and miles and everything else, that, you know, they'll do like one whole block, you know, or 2-3 blocks down through there, so.
And Johnny didn't say this, he's not much on excuses, but that part of the flushing, while we're still behind, is we ordered a flush truck back in August.
Yeah.
And we still don't have it. So when one of our two goes down, we're 50%, there's nothing we can do. And then we can't even make it up when, you know, we just don't have enough equipment, not by desire, it's just not here. And we're supposed to get it when? In June? Unless we get a phone call before.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, dealt with it before and everything, so. And another thing that Brent had mentioned that he'd like for us to include is right now, field operations, which, you know, consist of, that's all of field operations, the meter readers and everyone. We have 34 employees. As of August 9th, 2021, we were fully staffed for the first time in quite some time. Since that time, we have had one new hire join us, which was on 10-6 of 21, and one new hire joined us on 3-8 of 22. Our only opening right now is we have a meter reader that left on Friday. He was moving back to Montana to be closer to his family and everything. He had come out here and lived for a few years and decided that he was missing his family a little bit too much during Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff, so he wanted to be back closer to them. So he moved back, so we have that position open. But the highlight of it is most of all these positions that we've been filling, you know, since in the last 16 months have all been referrals. And it's either been by employees, it's workforce. We've even had a few employees that referred us that no longer work for us, you know, that had went on to other companies to work for and everything. So we had 8 referrals of those in the last 16 months that's come on to us. And, you know, the importance of these referrals is that we are getting a candidate that our employees feel comfortable in saying, hey, hire these people, they'll be a good fit. Dana wrote this, you know, so it is also a reflection of our culture and the growing leadership skills of our field operations supervisors and managers. And that is the case out there. We've allowed some of our managers, our supervisors out back to take more of the leadership role in there. Brent allowed me to kind of split it up a little bit so we could do some things different. And I think that's benefited us by giving some more one-on-one guidance and teaching and just being able to be around the employees a little bit more. And I think that's aided us in our management role with our supervisors back there. But I also have always wanted to say this, and I'm going to take this point to say it. Because as everybody in this room, me, Donna, and Don, you know, we're probably the oldest employees that's been here the longest time, and Steve Ponder. And Robert, you know, we go back to the previous, when he was the attorney with the previous one, and that the thing I want to think is like Dana and the upper management, and I want to consider Brent, and, you know, that's Brent and it's you guys, for allowing us to have the chance to, sorry, my mouth's getting dry. For all the effort y'all put into it to allow us to make this a place that people want to work. You know, that's the culture that we've changed to. Before, you know, I don't think we had that culture. And y'all have allowed us, and Brent's allowed us, and Dana coming on has really helped us grow that culture. And, you know, this leadership's helped us move in that right direction. You know, where we are we're putting the most, I don't want to say valuable asset, I don't want to call an employee an asset, but you know, they've allowed us to recognize the most important part of Rogers Water Utilities, and that's the people that work here, you know. And I think that's the biggest benefit that we can take from all of this is that culture's changed. This has become, in my 16 years now, going on 17, you know, this has probably been the most enjoyable time to work here, you know, that time that I've worked here. And it's just because of the people I get to work with now and them allowing these changes to
make it where these people are important. And I want to thank all of y'all. Thank Brent. Thank you guys.
That's great.
Good to hear.
Thank you.
Good to hear.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right. We go to the new business. A low bidder on 10th and Chestnut project.
Oh, we had a few bidders to come out for this one. This is for some water and sewer lines over on Chestnut Street and 10th Street. Working with the city of Rogers, they decide there's a channel that runs across 10th Street and perpendicular with Chestnut for a little bit, and then it makes a 90 and crosses Chestnut as well. It's over there by the McDonald's, if you're aware of the area. Mr. Frankie has decided to put some boxes in under the ground so that that is less of a hazard to the residents over there, but it did conflict with a sewer line going over there, so we decided to reroute that so that we can get this done. We're also giving access to water and sewer to a couple parcels that didn't have it before this. So Frankie's doing a lot of work for us as far as the road repairs. But we did need somebody to lay the water and sewer. We had Brothers Construction came in at $156,841.04. We are supplying most of the pieces and parts, which is why that price is as nice as what it is. And Frankie's doing some of the road work and supplying the Class 7 backfill. The staff does recommend awarding to Brothers Construction.
Did they miss something?
They did not.
J&L is usually pretty accurate, I think. That's a
J&L thought that they had to supply the parts.
Ah,
did they think?
Yes, they thought they had to supply the parts.
I specifically told them that they did not, but okay.
Yeah, because that's a big difference between.
Yeah, and Brothers has done stuff a lot with us, right?
I haven't directly worked with them. I know that they have
in the city of Rogers. Yeah. Yeah. They haven't done the city. Worked with us necessarily, but they have done the work with the city.
They've done some development work, and they seem to do a good job. We appreciate working with them.
I make a motion to approve.
I'll Brothers. Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve Brothers Construction for $156,841.04. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you. And we have the next one for resolution number 22. We're trying to move forward into the 21st century. We're trying to look forward. Electronic submittal of bids. Currently, there's three people or three companies that are approved by the state of Arkansas for submitting bids electronically. We have to supply these. That way, obviously, bids have to be sealed. So there's a third-party company that is sealing these bids so that they are, locked up so that we can't touch them until the bid is opened. And then once time has elapsed and we can open the bids, then no more people can submit, and we're given the password to open the files. So it's been approved by the state of Arkansas. This company here, they currently have a contract with the city of Rogers, and there's no cost for the utility to use this company. So we're asking to work through a contract with them. I believe we've got it so we can designate the final terms and conditions, but it's a zero cost contract.
So is it a zero cost for them to submit a bid to this?
So any contractor that wants to submit, you do not have to pay anything to submit a bid. How they make their money is basically for the convenience. If you would like to download all the documents from their site, then they charge a fee. They've got a per use fee, and then they've got a monthly and a yearly fee that you can get unlimited for, a subscription.
Electronic submittal is not required, though. Is that the way we're going?
I believe that was the plan, was that we wanted to do both. I don't know if we finalize how we're going to move forward, but this would give us the option to to allow for electronics.
To allow for, that's good. There's probably a lot of smaller operators out there that they just won't even bid it if they have to monkey with a computer.
I make a motion that we recommend that central bidding be designated as the electronic bidding service vendor for RWU.
Okay. So we have a motion second for a resolution to have central bidding be designated for the electronic bidding service. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
These next items on the agenda have to do with the next couple of items have to do with the project. It's a little bit unique. It's developing up near Bentonville, and they're still about a mile away from gravity sewer that can serve the property. In order to try to facilitate this project being able to develop, it's a 77 unit townhome development on about 13 acres, I think. One or two properties just south of the Bentonville line. And of course, the growth is coming south out of Bentonville. The sewer line has to come from the south to serve this development. It's probably going to be a while before we get that mile. We've recently gotten through another developer cooperating with them. You guys have approved the sewer to come across Stony Brook Road. We paid to upsize that line and deepen it a little bit. So, it'll be a while before this property has the ability to gravity sewer. So what we tried to do is work out an arrangement where it would allow this property to develop without us adversely being affected by it and just protecting our interests for now and in the future. For instance, they will need to operate a temporary lift station rather than us doing that. Until such time we can get the gravity up there. And then the idea is that they'll connect to the gravity sewer, decommission their lift station, and we'll take over the gravity portion on their system, on their site. So that's what this resolution and agreement are about. The first here is a resolution just authorizing RWU to enter an agreement with the developer. And I think the important thing to this is resolution 22 dash whatever here too. Is this the right one?
Yes.
Looking for the key. There it is. Due to the topography of the property, the distances, sewer mains located at lower elevation from the property, gravity flow connection to the sewer is not feasible at this time. So that's what the whole purpose of this is to try to help facilitate this development. And what we're asking you to do correct me if I'm wrong here, Robert. We lean on Robert to help us put this together, but what we're trying to do is to
enter an agreement. Yeah, there's a draft agreement there to start negotiations, but Stevens explained that, you know, the gist of the agreement is to set up the private sewer system at lift station, and then so the sewer line expands, and then they'll go, the lift station will go away, and then they have to grab the sewer system. This is a draft agreement. This hasn't been negotiated yet, but this is, you know, from our standpoint, we're to allow this development to go forward. From a legal standpoint, the bells and whistles are that it's a horizontal property regime, so the lift station and the private sewer system are going to be part of the common elements of the property. So those work off of a master deed. They can look at a condominium complex, but we have master deed in the land records. And then those common elements would be listed. So everybody with the town hall will be signed up to contribute to that sewer system as part of the common elements, like the other things that will be part of the property. And it will run void. It's got to go into the land records, be a restrictive covenant to bind the future apartment owners, town owners in the development. So this will be recorded, and everybody should be signed up to maintain that sewer system.
And no liability on our part when it blows up?
No, it's theirs. It's theirs. They have to maintain that effect. They have to maintain it. It's their property until it's dedicated. Eventually, we'll get dedicated like a normal facilities extension contract.
And it's also in there that if they don't get it extended, we're not under no obligation to get it for.
How far off is that before we?
They're out there grading now, I believe. They're trying to.
I mean, before we would be extending out there, we're going to be.
It's going to depend on the development, you know, especially when it's trying, the development's trying to come from the north and the sewer. That's why we.
Yeah, we've got sewer there at Rainbow and north of Stony Brook, and we've got north of Stony Brook between Rainbow and to the east there, but the development's starting from the top of the basin instead of. We make the other order, which would make sense. That makes sense for us. It doesn't make sense for the developers. But eventually, all of that will be on a gravity system. So this is what we're going to use until it sets time that gravity system's there. And that will be developer-driven, not us. We've already... You guys approved a facilities extension. We shared in the cost of that line across the Fleeman property just so that we could finally sewer this basin. The rest, though, will be developer-driven. We might participate in some sizing, right, as we did in the other portion, but that would be about it. We're not going to lay new at this point in time.
How many townhomes are they planning on?
This one site is 77. We may see some more of these temporarily pumped over into the other basin. There's a basin between Dotson and Horse Barn. It goes down and connects to our sewer interceptor going out to the treatment plant. There's another one that there's a valley that goes up east of Rainbow Road where this gravity needs to eventually go to. So as these properties are coming from the north, we may see some more ones that are temporarily pumped. What we're trying to do is get them to gravity to a low spot where we just connect the dots as we go up the as development allows us to go up the valley.
Do you know
we're
what
not proposing to put any of the utilities money towards extension?
So it'll depend on the price range, how fast it builds out.
We're watching this and controlling that with that ultimate basin, and with the vision of that ultimate basin.
What basin are you talking? What basin are we talking about?
It's a valley between east of Rainbow Road, between Dotson and Rainbow. It'll serve basically the east side of Rainbow Road, north of Stony Brook, and the west side of Rainbow. Yep, in our service area, eventually.
With all the pastures.
Yeah, if those are 300,000 to 400,000, they'll be built in no time.
It's just the infrastructure needs to come from a different direction than the development is.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and second for the resolution to form authorizing a development agreement pertaining to the proposed development known as Yates Farm. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay. Okay, motion carries.
And I believe that covers both items, the resolution and the agreement there, right? Is there anything else you want to say?
That's correct, the resolution. It'll be 2207 covers the development. That's the
matter. Okay, now I'm going to go into, this has highlighted the fact that our developer agreement, we have a standard agreement that we've been using since before my time to enter into an agreement with developers who install this infrastructure that we then accept and take over ownership. And they donate these assets to the utility for us to own and maintain. And of course, the inspection process that goes along with that for North. There are conditions that are spelled out between a developer and the utility that these conditions have to be met before we'll accept this infrastructure and operate and maintain it. And that's what the facility extension agreement does. It was in bad need of an update, so we asked Robert to also look into that, and that will be the next thing on your agenda here. pardon me, I don't know what page it is on. And that is this agreement. Okay, this is the a resolution and the agreement itself. This is the resolution to adopt the new standard agreement, which is a template that we use to allow development to happen that we intend to take over. If there's no extension of public water sewer main proposed with the development, we don't do one of these agreements. If there's an extension of water sewer, either one, then this is the template we use to set up an agreement between us and them. And like I say, Robert has gone through this and updated this wonderfully, and has some more protections for us in there, as well as kind of streamlined it as well, made it more understandable. So we would ask that you would go ahead and approve this so that we could start using this form or this template.
You need a motion?
Yes, yes, sir.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve the facilities extension agreement. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Okay, that carries.
Thank you. That's all I think I have. Oh, some while back, you guys had approved for us to enter into a special agreement with one of these facility extension contracts for a contractor to upgrade from an 8 to 12 a sewer line we have along Champions just outside the golf course. This sewer was identified in our sewer master plan as needing to be upgraded in size, again from an 8 to a 12. We saw an opportunity to do this before, while it was still greenfield, before they paved everything and landscaped it. We got a decent price from the contractor on this, which was much less than what we were going to see, and recommended that we go that. But since that happened, through no fault of the contractor, they were delayed for like 6 months, and the cost of their materials went up in that time. Basically their project was finishing up, and the general also was incurring some extra expenses associated with supervising this whole thing. So you previously approved a $148,250 for this upgrade, and again, due to no fault of the contractor, due to the timing and all that, their costs have gone up, and we're asking for an additional $40,000 something there, for $188,349.70. That'll include the supervision by the general contractor. The contractor is Brothers Construction, I believe, is working with us on this. We think they've been very fair with us on this. You were asking about them earlier. As well as the engineering fees, it'll go along with the revision to the developer plans. So we're asking for an additional $40,000 there and some change for that purpose.
So what was the reason they ran behind?
I didn't want to point fingers, but it was the city. The city delayed approval of the revised plans. And
okay.
It was a personnel change. That person no longer works with the city, and due to that, it was held up for months and months, and we tried. We emailed and phone calls trying to get this through the process. The engineer did the same thing, the consulting engineer for the developer, Kraft Intel. Finally, this guy left the city, and we got the attention of one of the plant, the new head planner over there, Lori Erickson, and she got it done for us. But by this time, and all their materials had gone up, so.
Can't help.
And there were some additional costs to the general contractor.
So that was the
due to the delays in closing out their project.
Yeah, I've heard this story before. But not on this specific thing. So they had the planning department had to approve it.
Yes, it was part of, a large-scale development plan, and the city requires that everybody that has a chance to read plans approve these plans before they put a red stamp on them. We sent these, the engineer sent them to them with the request that we had made these change, asked for these changes in the plans, and asked for these revised sheets to be red stamped, and for some reason it just didn't, it fell down and did not go through the process. I don't know why, but.
Is the city gonna share the overage, the cost over? Is that a dumb question?
I think politically I'd be leaving with that chin, but.
How many feet are we talking about? 570?
What's that?
How many feet?
Yeah, about 570. Is that what it's? It's an 8-inch. Yeah, 570 that they're
40,000 in 6 months.
690 that they're putting.
That's very believable.
Mm-hmm.
This will actually cross the road into the golf course. There's a section of it in the golf course, but it'll come down and run along the east side of Champions in that new development called Uptown Square that's being finished up.
This is part of, ultimately, this is part of the expansion through the course.
Yes. This is this much of it we won't have to do with pipe bursting and stuff later on.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion.
Second.
Not happy about it.
So we have a motion second to approve the revised total reimbursement in the amount of $188,349.70. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
God, that would pay somebody's salary.
Surprised it's not more. Well, 6 months?
I know, that's a long time.
That's about gone up.
Yeah, everything's gone up.
Bunch.
This last item is just a resolution to requesting vacation of certain part of South First Street. And I'll show you what certain part that is. It's this little tiny triangle right here. You guys can see that. But as you can see, you know, there's two things here. I won't go too much, but the whole idea here is to, this thing's made up of more than a dozen parcels right now, what RW sits on. So we're trying to get that redone into one parcel. When we were doing that, it became apparent that this little triangle right here, it's unassigned and unknown owner. So we're going to vacate that little triangle and go through the city, Robert and John Pusek with the city. We want to go through the formal process and get that back to the city of Rogers so that at some point we can put all these together again. But so that's all this resolution is. And I would ask for a vote on that, and unless you have any questions.
So moved.
So I'll second.
Okay, so I have a motion and second for authorizing the superintendent of Rogers Water Utility to submit the request to the city of Rogers and to take all necessary actions to accomplish the vacation and for other purposes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say aye. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you. And just to add, we have put that project on hold, on pause right now. We had an original estimate of around $5.5 million. We were looking at different options between a pre-engineered metal for a tilt-up possibly, and just to seal it all the way down to what happened now. About a week and a half ago, we had a sit-down with the general contractor on it, and we were up to $8.977 million. And we just said, you know, let's rethink this. Yeah. Let's look at what's going on, and in light of all of the volatility in everything, supply chain, materials. This just isn't the perfect time to spend money on. What's that?
How much did you say, Jeff?
About over $3 million.
Wow.
And
I'm trying to get a fence put up and I can't get that.
Nothing felt right about it.
No.
Yeah, most contractors are putting price escalators on their contracts now.
It's just not, Brian put it best, I think, in his email back to him. We just don't think we're seeing the value that we want for our ratepayers right now. And so we're just putting it on pause. That pause could be however long it takes. It's just indefinite. It may be the same amount when it's all said and done, but at least the volatility in the environment will be more conducive to making that type of decision with the ratepayers.
I applaud y'all for kicking it on down the road because it'll get cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to do some contingency stuff here. We're looking at putting some cubicles and things in the training center to get the folks out of there because it's just not really, it's not what we want for our people. Like I said, our people are our greatest strength. So we're going to put them into the training center. This room might look a little different when you see it one of these days. And we're going to multi-purpose it instead of just for commission. We're going to use it for conference. We're going to use it for training and do some of those things and just kind of work with what we've got and move forward when we can or when we need to.
By all means.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I'd also just like to thank Johnny, but you know, we're only as good as the people out here. And we're blessed and very fortunate to have some excellent, you know, my staff and their staff is unbelievably good. And
plain flat lucky, I'll take it.
And you guys as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, if we no other business, we will adjourn this meeting.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a fence put around our First Street house, and he came.